Hello and welcome to the In the Pen podcast, a podcast about relievers, part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network. My name is Jake Crumpler, and as always, I'm joined by Pitcherless bullpen expert Rick Graham. Rick, how's it going? And have you done an all-star ballot yet?
I have not. I know it's not, I like the all-star game. It's not like a big, all-star game, voting for things like the all-star game or Hall of Fame discussion. The discussion usually just tires me out to the point where I don't even like come up with my own ballot or, you know, put any effort into it at least. But mm-hmm. Maybe at some point I will. But yeah, it does feel like there's going to be a lot of different names than I think we're used to this year. Or at least it should be, like, based on who deserves to be in, which is always fun. So I'm just interested to see how the – I was looking at, like, what relievers are going to – and we'll probably, I think, next week is when – next week or the week after, we'll probably talk about, like, all-star deserved relievers for the all-star game. But, yeah, mm-hmm. I think – that's another one. I bring it up every year, but there should be more than four relievers, I feel like, in the all-star game.
Yeah.
Especially guys like Anthony Bender's just like there's just an article about how his sweeper is like the statistically like the best pitch in baseball or something right now. And like, let's get him in that pitch. Like his numbers are good. Like that pitch is awesome. Let's get him in the all-star game for an inning. You know what I mean? Like those guys always get overlooked though. So it's highly unlikely, but we can hope.
I mean, the pitchers, it's hard to get all the pitchers in the game. It's hard to get all the pitchers on the roster that are deserving, especially when there's just so many starters that are usually deserving, as well as, you know, countless number of relievers. And it always ends up there being some guy with a lot of saves who's really not that great in the all-star game. So it's hard to figure out. But I think you're right about a lot of, you know, lesser known names in the all-star game. I think we've got a lot of first timers that might be starters. Yeah. I think Miguel Vargas is a interesting one for the White Sox. I like Travis Bezzana for the AL at second base. It's really bad at second base.
Yeah. I don't even know.
Yeah. It's not great, but I think it would be cool if he made it. I mean, Nick Kurtz has been incredible. I like Jordan Walker has been a huge breakout this year. And I mean, Xavier Edwards, too, taking that next step this year has been cool. So there's lots of cool guys. I'm always, when I'm not, like, posting a screenshot of my all-star ballot, I'll use my votes to get guys that are sort of underrated. So I'm, like, voting for, like, Casey Schmidt of the Giants or, you know, again, Munetaka Murakami, some votes at first base for the White Sox. Just because, you know, they're not going to outscore the other guys on there, but they definitely deserve some, like, you know, Yandy Diaz over Yordan Alvarez at DH. Some guys that are definitely deserving of all-star performances or all-star selections. They've been incredible this year, but they just have a lot of tough competition.
Yeah, so that's probably how I would vote too. That's how I would lean in. Like, let's get some of those guys some love, get them some recognition. The smaller market teams too, like, that's why the vote is always like, all right, the Yankees and Dodgers are going to get a ton of like votes for their guys, which
the
is
Royals and Cardinals. It's always the Missouri teams.
Well, yeah. I mean, they have like, the fan bases there are very, I mean, I don't know what Royals were voting for outside of Bobby Witt, but
not this year, but do you remember like back in the day?
Yeah,
like,
I do.
Like, 2015, they had like the whole thing. The Braves are the same way. They deserve it though. I mean,
the whole Southeast is all Braves fans, so they get a lot of But yeah, I mean, it's something. Looking forward to seeing how that turns out. And yeah, I don't know. I just hope Jacob Latz needs to be there, man. That's my one reliever. I'm gonna be so mad if he doesn't get picked. I don't know why he wouldn't, but that's. Dude's been so good this year.
Yeah, I mean, just a cursory glance, I mean, he's got to be top three amongst
AL relievers. It's like saves, though. Like 10 saves is like, don't look at this. Please don't look at the saves. I wish we could vote for relief or pitchers in general. I don't know
why they don't let us.
Like, even if you don't weigh it down, like weigh it less than, but just like at least let people vote on pitching. It is weird that like it's only determined by the team, the coaching, the coaches and teams themselves, but I don't know. At least vote, and then if they don't want to participate, then they don't like go, whatever, it's fine.
It's gonna be frustrating when like David Bednar gets in over last because he has more saves or something, and he goes for the Yankees.
that's, and then with his 1.36 whip or whatever it is. Yeah, it's going to be something like that.
They're just, well, because won't John Schneider be the manager for the AL, and doesn't he have a lot of say in who they select?
He would be the manager. I don't know. I don't really off the top of my head know how the pitchers, especially relievers, are picked. If it's from just like the manager or like in his group, or if it's from a group of, you know, coaches throughout the AL or NL respectively. But yeah, I could see definitely. I feel like every year, I forget who it was. Was it last year, 2 years ago? There was like an egregious, like Clay Holmes had made it when he was with the Yankees, and he was not having a good year, and he made it over some guys. It's like, what are we doing? I think it might have been like maybe Boone was the manager or something like that. So it's, it can get weird. I mean, for Schneider, like he has Varlin. Like Varlin should make it. Yeah. That's an easy one. Mm-hmm. Like that's not a hard choice, but
right.
Yeah.
I mean, you got like, you get Varlin, Cade Smith, and then you start getting into Chapman and Lats and maybe, I don't know, not too many other options there. Brian Baker.
Yeah, Baker's the other one who I think might get squeezed out depending on how many relievers.
He's got a lot of saves.
The AL is deeper than the NL, so I feel like if anyone's taken five or six relievers, it should be the AL. But yeah, we'll see. Well,
their starting options aren't as good, so it might work out pretty well because the NL starting pool is crazy. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like Chase Burns is ridiculous, and he just gets overshadowed by all the Jacob Mizorowskis and Christopher Sanchez's and Paul Skeens. And Chase Burns is,
imagine if all those guys pitched, if like they go Skeens, Mizorowski. I mean, would Ohtani pitch in the game? I mean, like
Mason Burns,
Miller. Yeah. Miller and Duran are your eighth and ninth inning. And then like, just have seven really good start. Yeah. I mean, the NL could put together one of the best pitching staffs we've ever seen, potentially.
Yeah, that will be exciting. We're still about a month away, but definitely not too early to start thinking about the All-Star game. But today we're going to talk about relief pitchers mostly. We'll focus on the news and notes from the past week. We'll talk about the closers rising and falling on Rick's weekly closer ranks. And then we'll look at 10 bullpens that are still a little bit undecided. It's not 10. Is that 10?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. I scrolled through that and I was like, that's like six. 10 bullpens that are still somewhat undecided or maybe about to change a little bit. And, you know, with the trade deadline coming after the All-Star game, we'll definitely see some more shakeups in these bullpens. But we're going to do a little bit of Jerry Seinfeld and say, what's the deal with these bullpens? But let's start off with the news and notes, beginning with the transactions, looking at the Giants, who recalled Ryan Walker from the minors and optioned Carson Seymour back to AAA. Walker did not really figure things out in the minors after being optioned. I mean, he wasn't bad. I think it was a 1.93 ERA, but the strikeouts did not return. He had a 19% strikeout rate in AAA, so it's not like he recovered his dominance. It was more of just some fortunate BABIP luck and no home runs against him. But with Walker returning, there is the possibility that he works into some save opportunities. I think right now he's already the top right-handed setup option, and I'll move this one up the list, and that's because Keaton Wynn was placed on the 15-day IL with an elbow strain, and Tristan Beck was recalled for the minors in the corresponding move. So with Wynn out of the way, there's really no other right-handed options with experience in high-leverage setup roles to take over Walker. So we'll see how that works out. I don't have a lot of faith in Walker. What about you?
I don't either. I want to see Dylan Smith. And I think the way they've been using Dylan Smith, I think he might already be in that seventh or eighth inning role. The way Vitello kind of broke down the bullpen when Walker came back was like, all right, Walker's going to be the fireman here and Killian's going to be the closer, which is just interesting that he even like defined roles because they had it all year. And it's probably because Walker came up and he just didn't want any sort of, confusion or, you know, people think, you know,
we're just going to,
this is what it is for now. Walker's not here to take the closer role. And he's been okay since he came back. But yeah, the I not like he was a huge swing and miss guy before, but there's like nothing there anymore from him in the swing and miss department. And yeah, it's I don't have much faith in him. The rest of this bullpen is just so bad that like it's Dylan Smith, Caleb Killian, and I can't. There's no one else I can really trust here. So that opens up at least a door for Walker or like, you know, Eric Miller's been so bad lately too. I don't even know who the seventh inning guy would be. So I guess Walker's probably going to factor into some holds for now, but I'd probably just stay away from anyone in this bullpen for holds. And, you know, if you want to chase Killian for saves in deeper leagues, go for it. But he's not someone I'm too excited about either.
Next, we've got Craig Yoho, who is definitely a little bit exciting, but I don't know if he's going to be somebody who immediately impacts fantasy teams. He was one of the top relief prospects a couple of years ago, and he's been up and down the past couple of years with the Brewers. But that bullpen is a little light because of the injuries they've undergone recently. However, with somebody like Joel Kunal stepping up, I don't know if Yoho is going to get many opportunities. I did go and check if Kunal was still throwing really hard, because when he first got over to the Phillies or to the Mariners, to the Brewers, Kunal was throwing like 5 miles per hour harder. He said he hit 100. Yeah. And I thought maybe it was the weird radars in Las Vegas. It's not. He pitched back in Milwaukee against the Phillies on the 13th of June, and he was throwing 3.5 ticks harder at 98 miles per hour on average, 98 to 99 on his four seamer and sinker, just crazy stuff. And I don't think Yoho's change up centric profile is going to surpass Kunal when he's throwing 100 miles an hour.
No. I mean, even still with Kunal's like velocity increase, it's still, you know, slightly, like his stuff's above average now, but it's not like he's not a threat to McGill, probably not a threat to Uribe or Ashby. Yeah. Yoho, I want to see Yoho pitch, because he's outside of Coors was the only place he had pitched before. So get him, you know, right, get some actual numbers on him at a regular stadium,
because it's really going to affect his changeup.
Yeah, the changeup was not, you know, it's graded out poorly in Colorado, but let's see what it does somewhere normal and go from there. But, his numbers in the minors are pretty good. I think the only, like, Grant Anderson doesn't have options, I believe. Maybe he does, but, like, he's been okay, but he hasn't been – he hasn't been that. I mean, you're probably not worth, you know, you're probably not going to send him down, but if you're looking for, you know, someone to stick around here when like Jared Koenig might be coming back soon, if his elbow is still intact. But I mean, Chad Patrick also hasn't been pitching well lately, so I think there's a chance Yoho could stick around. He deserves it until otherwise. I mean, even in his two outings so far, in the majors, he looked fine. So, like, let's you know, give him a chance at this point. See how things worked out. The fastball looks better than it did last year, and we all know the changeup's good. So, let's see what happens.
Yeah, give him a real chance. He's starting to get up there in age. He's already 26. He's going to be 27 soon. So you don't want him to miss out on his prime. And he's been pitching really well in the minors for a few years now. So get Craig Yoho some work in that Brewers bullpen. Next, we've got Kenley Jansen, who was activated from the 15-day IL after missing a couple weeks with pelvic inflammation. Bo Brieski was optioned to the minors in a corresponding move, and Jansen should slot right back into being the clear-cut closer in Detroit.
Yeah, I think he's already pitched once, looked fine, velo looked good. Nothing really. The only concern there is just him being able to stay healthy, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he slides right back into the ninth inning. Vest is in the eighth inning. And I guess what they do to get there with Finnegan and Drew Anderson and others, that still remains to be seen. But at least Jansen's back in the ninth. And yeah, I wonder, you know, he's been on some bad teams in the past few years and hasn't been traded at the deadline. And the Tigers are in a spot where, you know, if they trade Skubal, if they move some guys, is Jansen going to be on the – is he going to be someone that they sell? Or does he want to stay there, finish the year, close out some games? I don't know. It's be an interesting deadline discussion, especially if the Tigers are playing better lately, but they have a lot of you know, room to cover, to make up for with their start. So
Yeah, we'll 30 and 42. Not great. I do wonder if he's a type of guy who's like, don't trade me if I'm not going to be the closer, because I don't want to pitch outside of a closer role.
I feel like we talk about that every year, and then he ends up not getting dealt, and that might be why. So, we'll it's another thing to keep an eye on this year. So, we'll see.
All right. Next, we got Craig Kimbrell, who was activated from the 15-day IL after missing a couple weeks with a wrist strain. Mason Englert was option to the minors in a corresponding move, and Kimbrell was thrust right back into action, pitching in back-to-back days immediately after being activated. He's the bullpen is just, you know, a little bit in shambles for the Rays, so there's a possibility that Kimbrell finds some holds, but not somebody I'm banking on. I am though excited to see him pitching for such a pitching savvy organization.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff still is there. There's still something there, and the Rays have a tendency, to get the most out of relievers or pitchers in general. So there's also opportunity there, because outside of Kelly and Baker, and I guess Clevinger, even though he hasn't been great, I don't think he's gonna, you know, he's still gonna be in the mix for high leverage innings. There's really no one else there. So I mean, Casey Legamine has been pitching well for them, but is that their seventh, sixth inning guy, or is Kimbrell have a chance to make a move there? So yeah, we'll see. It's a good spot for Kimbrell for multiple reasons, and hopefully, he stays healthy. He's throwing two different breaking balls. He was with the Mets, but now I think the Rays are having him throw his more traditional, his older, you know, his traditional curveball more than the sweeper he was throwing with the Mets. So I don't know, that could change some things, help him out, but we'll see.
All right, definitely worth paying attention to. Next, we've got Ryan Helsley, who is activated from the 15-day IL after missing about a month and a half with elbow inflammation. Helsley should return immediately to being the Orioles closer, which bumps Rico Garcia into more of a high leverage setup role. It sort of comes at a good time because Rico's coming back down to earth after his incredible BABIP run earlier in the season. But, you know, the Orioles bullpen sort of held on while Helsley was gone. But with Helsley back, Anthony Nunez was optioned to the minors in a corresponding move, which a bit surprising, but I think makes sense given the guys that are on the roster that don't really have options at the moment. And Nunez was certainly struggling across the past month plus. So Helsley back in the closer role, Rico Garcia and Andrew Kittredge, the top setup men.
Yeah, it's actually I imagine Nunez is going to go back at some point in the past month. It's been like, well, all right, when are they going to send Nunez down to work on some things? And then like the past week or so, he's actually been pitching better, and like he's actually figured it out. It looks like he's not throwing his sinker as much. He was just really throwing his four seamer and slider, which are his two best pitches, and not, you know, relying on the other two as much as he had been. And like, all right, he's working. He might be onto something here. And then of course he gets optioned. But yeah, it's good to see Helsley back. His two minor league rehab outings look pretty dominant from what I could see. So he should be, you know, all systems go here as their closer. But again, you know, we're in the middle of June. So, you know, start thinking about teams who could potentially trade away their closers or acquire closers, and the Orioles are not exactly in the playoff mix right now. So they could maybe move Helsley. It'd probably take a lot since they have a team option or a mutual option with him. So anyway, Helsley could be on the move at the deadline, but we'll see how he looks the next week. If he's throwing 99 plus with you know, his stuff again, he'll move up into the top 10 for the closer ranks, I think, pretty quickly, because he was pitching well. The walk rate was terrible, but, you know, other than that, like, the stuff still really good for him.
Right. It was a 2.53 ERA and a 33% strikeout rate for Helsley prior to the injury. So hopefully he comes back at full strength. Now we've got just a couple of minor moves and trades, starting with Drew Pomeranz, who was designated for assignment by the Angels. It's been a rough season for him with injuries and underperformance. Jose Fermin was recalled for the minors in a corresponding move. But with Pomeranz out, Brent Suter and Sammy Natera Jr. are the top southpaws in the Angels bullpen. I have a lot more faith in Natera over Suter, but definitely some potential for him to climb into high leverage situations, more so now with Pomeranz out of the way.
Yeah. And I'd imagine. I mean, I don't know. The Angels always do weird things, but like Suter's probably not going to be on the roster all year as well. Maybe they keep him around. It's just like the veteran stabilizing force in that bullpen. If it's, I mean, who knows what happens with Yates. But yeah, at least, you know, they bring, I mean, Fermin's had command issues his whole career, still does.
Terrible
but,
this year.
Yeah, but with like with Fermin, Nitera, Bachman, and, you know, Zephyr John, at least there's like a lot of, there's big time stuff there. The command is obviously a huge question mark, but that's a, at least that's like a, you know, a group you can potentially count on, you know, moving forward. And, you know, Ben Joyce is, if he's healthy and he gives you anything, that's just like the cherry on top, I guess. I don't know if we can expect anything from him at this point, but there's some young talent in that bullpen, at least moving forward. And yeah, Pomeranz, I could see him getting, I mean, he didn't look good when he came back off the IL, fastball was down, but I could still see him getting a look somewhere else if he's interested in going somewhere else.
Yeah, I expected the Angels to have the highest bullpen walk rate in baseball, but they don't. They're number two. Who do you think number one is?
Reds.
That's right. Yeah. This is why Rick is the bullpen expert. No hesitation there.
Immediately went to Connor Phillips and like Zach Maxwell. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there was a lot of bad. That bullpen is just not good across the board right now either. It's
really, really surprising too, considering we were really excited about it. We did have a couple of trades. They're very minor. Connor Siebold was traded by the Blue Jays to the Royals. He'll be a long relief guy for the Royals. And Yosfer Zulueta was traded by the Mariners to the Cubs. That one's more interesting than the Siebold one. Zulueta's shown potential, but I'm not sure he's going to get too many opportunities with the Cubs to really do anything with it.
Yeah, probably not. But I mean, with the Palencia injury, who knows? Right. We there might be something, some opening at the back end of that bullpen, at least, or front end. We did this last week too. The front court of that bullpen. But yeah, it always had an interesting stuff. It's always come from him, health and command, two biggest issues. So
for every reliever,
it's interesting that Seaball keeps getting like. I mean, I don't see a ton there, but he keeps getting, you know, chances. He's third, fourth team so far this year. So there's obviously something teams are interested in with him. But yeah, I don't, even with the Royals having, you know, a need for relief help, I don't think he's going to factor into anything high leverage wise in Kansas City.
All right. Now we can take a look at some transactions or some injuries from the past week, But first, we're going to take a quick break here on In the Pen. And we're back. Jake Crumpler here with Rick Graham on In the Pen discussing relief pitcher injuries. We'll start with Matt Brash, who was placed on the 15-day IL with a lat strain. Domingo Gonzalez was recalled for the minors and subsequently DFA'd in favor of Michael Rucker, who was selected from the minors in a corresponding move. So Matt Brash out, Michael Rucker in. You know, really tough situations for the Mariners this year. They've just been, it's been hard for them to stay healthy, especially Brash. I think this is already his second, maybe even third IL stint, but he's thrown just 16 and two thirds innings this year. And with him out of the way, it'll be Eduardo Pizarro as the top righty setup man.
Yeah. And this is the second time Brash has been on the IL with the same lat injury. And it sounds like this is going to be a while. What was the quote earlier today? I think they're hoping he can be back in August at some point.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so not good timing, especially if Andrés Muñoz, you know, struggling and also hurt himself a little bit and banged up. So yeah, the right-handed depth's definitely gonna be tested there. Rucker's not bad, but I don't think he's some like the answer to their issues from the right side. Because yeah, now it's behind Muñoz, it's Pizarro, who's you know, he's durable. We know that.
Yeah.
Is he really good? Is he
no, the
good?
Upside's yeah. gone.
Yeah. So, you know, I like Alex Hoppe. Hope I should figure out how to pronounce his last name.
Let's see.
But he, you know, someone the Red Sox had moved on from this offseason, and he's looked better lately. The fastballs ticked up a little bit.
It's Hoppy, like Hoppy. Logan Hoppy.
I knew that, and for some reason I didn't want to say it. But yeah, he, if there's any sort of dark horse here, especially if Munoz either needs to miss time with his back injury, or if there's if he just continues to struggle, I mean, he's probably like one or two bad outings away from losing the role anyway. So, it's probably going to go to one of the lefties, but if they wanted to keep a righty in that role, it'd probably be Hoppy for me. But that's like that would be, you know, crazy going with him over, you know, experienced guys and Ferrer. Right. Even Gabe Spire, I mean, not a big, he's not a closer to me, but still he's a good reliever. And if you need to, I don't know. It's one of those things where I think Munoz just needs to figure it out, and you have to keep rolling with him and hoping he figures things out. Cause that's gotta be like last case, worst case scenario, taking him out of that role.
Yeah. All right. I think I'd lean into Jose Ferrer there as the next guy up out of that Mariners bullpen if Munoz continues to struggle. Next, we'll go to the Braves bullpen, where Tyler Kinley was placed on the 15-day IL with elbow inflammation. The corresponding move, I think, is definitely exciting enough to sort of erase the sadness that comes with the IL placement, as James Karinchak was selected from the minors. He hasn't pitched in the majors since 2023. He was a psychopath out of the Guardians bullpen back in the day, and he had a very high peak and a very low floor, but he's worked his way back into the majors. He actually looked really decent at AAA this year. The walks are under control, and that's been his problem throughout his career.
I mean 10% for him. Yeah, sure, right. Sure. I'll take that. Yeah.
Yeah. 2.45 ERA, 1.01 whip, 38% strikeout rate, and a 10% walk rate for Karinchak at AAA.
Yeah, if you're getting a 10% walk rate from him, that's probably you'll be happy with that. And that's like so far, it's maybe only been two outings, I think. Mm-hmm. But he looks just like the same Karinchak we've seen in the past, where stuff is amazing, command is just who knows where it's going. But for the Braves and like the situation they're in, they don't really need to rely on him for big innings anyway. Didier Fuentes has been so good. Mm-hmm. Dylan Dodd, I mean, that's in front of the big trio of Suarez, Iglesias, and Lee, of course. So I don't think you don't need to rely on Karinchak right now, but it's just another name, another like high upside flyer for them to see if he can, you know, get if that walk rate does stick at 10% or even lower. Yeah, there's definitely big time upside there still with him.
We had a couple of minor IL placements. Jalen Beeks hit the 15-day IL with lower back spasms. Luis Cervello was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. We also saw Wilbur Dotel hit the 15-day IL with a lat strain. Brandon Bidois and Isaac Mattson will return to the minors in corresponding moves. Any fantasy relevancy or implications from the Beeks and Dotel IL placements?
Not really. I was hoping for expecting more from Luis Carvalho, and I don't think there's anything really there. Bidois back up. I think he was only down for like 3 days before getting recalled because of the injury here. He has not had the greatest success so far, but there's definitely stuff there that can factor into the later innings. That whole Pirates bullpen is really stressing me out. I guess Soto's been fine, but other than that, I just hard to trust anyone there right now. So, I thought Mason Montgomery had turned a corner. I'm not really sure that he has.
Yeah, guys, he dropped him. He dropped him in our relief pitcher league. Did you have him? You dropped
him. I had him. Yeah.
Yeah. Fake fan over here.
I mean, his velocity is down. The command's not great again. Yeah, and he's a guy with an injury history. He's like throwing 96.9 the other day is like averaging. That's way down.
Step it up, Mason.
Yeah, and the results haven't been there either. So Santana looked good the other night, and one night he looked good. So let's see if he can continue there. But they need someone to step up in that bullpen.
Yeah,
It's not Isaac Mattson.
I don't think so. And then so after those minor IL placements, we had some more significant ones, starting with somebody that you hinted at, Daniel Palencia hitting the 15-day IL with elbow inflammation. Gavin Hollowell was recalled for the minors in a corresponding move. But Palencia is a closer, so the fantasy implications are certainly significant. And any elbow-related injury is always going to be concerning, especially for a guy who – I mean, he throws hard. He had increased velocity last year, so there's certainly some concern that maybe it's a more significant injury. But with Palencia out of the way, we've got, I think, a trio of arms that could factor into the closer role: Jacob Webb, Caleb Thielbar, and Phil Maton. But I think the favorite's got to be hard throwing Jacob Webb.
That's my favorite too. And Webb picked a bad time to have a kind of a rough week here. But even with a couple rough outings, I think I just don't know who else it would be. I mean, Thielbar pitched well in the role prior the first time Palencia was out, but he doesn't look the same since Thielbar also was on the IL since he came back from the IL. His stuff's been down. Velocity's been down for him. He's been better the last week or so, but I think it's either going to be like a committee with Webb and Thielbar based on matchups being left and right, or it's just going to be Webb. I think Webb deserves a shot. The thing with him though, he's been worked a lot. He's probably been overworked the first half of the year. So hopefully he's not slowing down. The velocity for him hasn't turned down even with these, rough outings recently. So hopefully the velocity stays and he can take that role and run with it, because I haven't seen anything on the severity of Palencia's injury yet. Maybe we'll know after the Cubs game. We'll have an update or something, but second time on the IL, elbow inflammation. Yeah, it could be bad. It could be minor. That could be precautionary, or it could be something worse. So who knows? But I would be adding Jacob Webb, because he had been pitching really well up until this past week, and I think that's hopefully just a blip on the radar. The stuff still looks good.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, fingers crossed that Daniel Palencia doesn't require a lengthy IL stint, but we're both putting our money on Jacob Webb, who has superior numbers across the board to Thielbar. I mean, they got the same strikeout rate, but Webb's got more whiffs. He walks fewer batters. He's got a sub-3 ERA. I think Webb is definitely the option they should go to. But they do have two other lefties in that bullpen, so if they did want a lefty closer, it wouldn't hurt them too bad.
Do you know how many saves Palencia has this year in 19 games?
I'm not looking. I'm guessing like 5.
3.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
That's so unlucky. I mean, he's pitched really well. 2.16 ERA. No, that's Riley Martin. 2.70 ERA. Yeah, 27% strikeout rate.
He's been fine. He's been fine. It's just the Cubs. It's just been the weirdest circumstances.
Yeah,
that are out of everyone's control, that the Cubs are either tied in the ninth inning or they're up by 4+ or right. They're down. It's
not like they're not winning.
Yeah, it's just been a weird circumstance. Watch now. Jacob Webb's going to get like a ton of saves now that Webb, because I mean, people keep complaining to me about Palencia not getting saves. I'm like, I don't have any control over that. I mean, I don't know when the Cubs are going to have a save chance. Like, they're winning games. They're not a bad team. I would imagine that they would eventually win a game by 3 runs or less. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just been one of those weird baseball-y things, Sometimes it's just why it's so hard to predict saves or holds, because you just don't know how teams are going to win or how they're going to lose or what's going to happen. So,
yeah, you were saying you were a little bit worried that maybe Webb's velocity falls throughout the year, but I mean, it's only risen. He was at 93 miles per hour in April, and now he's up to 95 on average.
Yeah, and that's why even this past week with a couple rough outings, velocity still looks good, stuff looks good. So hopefully he shakes that off. He should be the one getting the chance. I mean, Phil Maton has not been good. He's figuring things out, but I don't think he's figured it out. I don't think he's ready to be thrust back into an important role like that. So, yeah, that bullpen's going to be tested without Palencia for sure.
All right. And lastly, Brad Keller was placed on the 15-day IL with forearm tendonitis. Max Lazar was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. Keller was the top setup option to closer Yoan Duran in Philadelphia. So with Keller out, Orion Kerkering will be the top right-handed option. Kerkering's been solid this year, 2.03 ERA, 26% strikeout rate, but I think the depth of the Phillies bullpen is going to be tested without Brad Keller.
I mean, yeah, I mean, Keller has not been good like most of the year. I think if anything, and maybe it's from this injury, but like Jonathan Bolin's been pitching so much better than him, and I'm finally, he's gonna probably have a couple bad outings now that he's gonna get a chance to pitching some sort of leverage for them. But I mean, Jonathan Bolin's fastball is just like, it has so, his fastball is very good. It should be in the seventh or eighth inning of games. He just doesn't need to throw six pitches like he does. Like, just like focus on like two, I don't know. So frustrating with him because the fastball is such a good starting point, and like, no, there's so many, there's so little. I mean, I probably like 5 to 10 relievers have the type of fastball he has. So hopefully we can see Bolin. And yeah, Kirk Room's been pitching really well lately too. He's been better than Keller by far. Even like, I know Jose Alvarado's ratios look terrible, but the underlying numbers look a lot better than how he's performed. So I think without Keller, they'll be fine. I they should be fine. I mean, again, he has not been pitching well lately anyway. So I think that they still have a really strong bullpen with Kirkering, Alvarado, and Bolin backing up Duran there. Even Chase Shugart has been pitching well for them. And it's like, I mean, him and Tim Mesa, it's like just guys that they probably have, you never would have thought. I mean, the Phillies are doing something with their bullpen, I think.
Yeah, and Mays is going to stick around forever if he keeps pitching like this. All right, just a couple bits of news before we head up to the three up, three down section. Eric Sabrowski began a rehab assignment on Sunday. He's recovering from elbow inflammation that he landed on the IL with around 3 weeks ago. And AJ Puck paused his rehab assignment after feeling shoulder discomfort. He's recovering from Tommy John surgery, which he underwent last June. So Puck's return is going to be a little bit delayed. I think there was some potential that he would return before the All-Star break, but now I think it's probably going to be late July, maybe early August for AJ Puck.
Yeah, I think Lavulo or someone in the Diamondbacks organization said it's going to be a matter of weeks probably before he starts throwing again. Then you got to restart everything. So it's probably August at best for him. But we'll see. I think they're still waiting on another MRI or a second look at one of his MRIs or something. So unfortunate for Puck. Sabrowski, at least we have good news on that. And that's a lot sooner than I think the original timetable was like July. And now he might be back this weekend or next week if everything goes well. So love to see him back. That Guardians bullpen doesn't need that much help, but I mean, yeah, he was pitching so well for them before. So yeah, hopefully that continues. But yeah, it's the Puck news really is a bummer because I don't know. He didn't have the Tommy John. He had the internal brace, and I wonder if that's one of those, like, should he have had the full surgery? I don't know, but we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, we will. I think Sabrowski's definitely somebody who's sort of worth rostering everywhere. He was the top setup man in baseball before his injury, so excited to see him come back. But that'll do it for our news and notes from the past week. Now we'll head into our three up, three down section, where we look at the closers rising and falling on Rick's weekly closer ranks, which you can find over at pitcherlist.com. Let's start with the risers, beginning with Jacob Latz, who continues to have an incredible season for the Rangers. 1.62 ERA, 29% strikeout rate. What has you bumping him up your closer ranks this week?
He's just been, I mean, really since he began throwing harder, which I don't know if we talked about it, but there was a clear point like April 21st, I think it was, his first game before he took over the closer role, and like all of a sudden he's throwing 2 miles per hour harder. And since then he's been throwing, you know, 2 miles per this past week, he was throwing 98 in a game all of a sudden I think that transition from being a starter to a reliever, sometimes it takes a while to realize, like, you know, just air it out, man. Like you're throwing 20 pitches here. Just, you know, reach back, see what you have. But yeah, since that point in April for Latz, you know, it's 20.2 innings pitched. He has a 1.74 ERA, 0.63 WHIP, 34% K rate. Again, he 10 saves. He should be in the All-Star game.
Hall of Fame.
Maybe. I mean, at this point, if he keeps going. I'm just, yeah, looking forward to. Hopefully he gets more save chances. That's been the one issue. I mean, that lineup's been so inconsistent. The starters have been inconsistent. So there should be more save chances for him to come if everyone gets healthy there and they start playing better. But yeah, that's just someone. I think he's still a name. And I want to say the last time I looked in like Yahoo leagues, he's still rostered at like 40% or something. So like, I mean, ESPN, it's probably like 10. So like, yeah, he should be raw. I don't know what, if your league is active, I don't know how he's not rostered yet everywhere.
Yeah, he's been incredible this year. So Jacob Latt rising up the closer ranks. Next, we've got Paul Sewald, who continues to rise. I think the AJ Puck news helps a little bit. I think the decline of someone like Juan Murillo, who hasn't been as exceptional as he was to open the season, as well as just Sewald's continued steadiness. I mean,
yeah,
he's got that ERA whip disparity, which is a result of his inability to prevent home runs. He gives up a few too many homers. I think that's just, you know, when you're throwing low 90s, you're going to give up a few of those, but he just keeps getting save opportunities. 18 saves on the year, 30% strikeout rate, 3.30 ERA for Paul Sewald. He's been great this year.
Yeah, and most of those runs from that ERA came in like, I think it's like three games. He let up a home run the other night on, it was like a kind of a silly home run to Donovan Walton on a fastball up and away that he, I don't know. It's just something that, yeah, he'll give up the occasional home run, but as long as it's a solo shot and, you know, for the most part, he's done a good job with not walking people and not putting guys on base. So that's why the whip still looks good. Strikeouts are still been there. He's one of the more steady and consistent guys in that top, you know, 10 to 12 closer mix right now where you pretty much know what you're going to get and know what the result's going to be. So steadiness from him, and yeah, like the puck injury news doesn't hurt, and Murillo hasn't been the same. And I mean, Ginkle's now their top setup guy, and that's not someone who I have like, yeah, I'm not concerned about him taking over
right.
Sewald's job anytime soon. So I feel pretty confident in him being able to keep that role. And now, you know, I don't know that the Diamondbacks, whether they're going to be buyers or sellers at the deadline, that could change things. But for now, things are looking good for Sewald closing out games the rest of the year.
All right. And our last riser is Trevor McGill, who continues to claim the closer role. We haven't seen a save from him in the past week or a save opportunity for
the Brewers. He got one tonight.
Brewers. Oh, he got one tonight. Yeah. All right. Well, gotta be up to date if I'm
like
gonna be
3 minutes ago. Like then the game ended. I know.
Gotta be on my phone while I'm doing the podcast. But okay, well that's good. Trevor McGill holding on to that closer role. I think you know, the biggest thing is that Abner Ribe hasn't done anything worthy of taking it back from McGill. So what else do you have confidence in pushing McGill up your ranks?
Aaron Ashby is 10-0 right now. He just got his 10th win.
He's leading baseball in wins. Yeah. That's crazy.
Lone save with the win for Ashby. He did it on purpose, didn't he?
Yeah, right.
But McGill, yeah, I don't know. I just, again, he just got the save. I don't know what the velo was looking like. He's throwing. Like we talked about Kunal throwing harder. Same time frame, McGill's been throwing 2 miles per hour harder. And I think last week he steroids. Was. It's the pitching lab in Milwaukee that they're.
Right.
Whatever they're doing there, it's working for everyone. But yeah, I think last week it was a little bit of a concern with McGill because he had missed time with being some soreness and like, oh, here we go. But since he came back, he's been throwing, like I said, throwing harder. He's throwing like 99 plus now, which is where he was at last year, 2 years ago when he was like at his best. It's 99 is a different, you know, is different than 97. So, this is the McGill we've been waiting for and wanting to see. So hopefully this continues. Always the caveat of him and what the health's going to look like. But as long as he's healthy, throwing 99, no concerns.
All right. As those guys rise up the list, others need to fall to accommodate them. Let's look at our fallers, starting with Raisel Iglesias, who opened the season on fire. But I think he's sort of coming back down to earth. Is there any, you know, extraneous circumstances that suggest that you think Iglesias deserves to fall down the list? Or is this more of like you expect him to regress? You expect him to have more competition than the guys above him?
A little bit of guys below him just pitching better or being more dominant. Little regression on Iglesias' part. Robert Suarez has been throwing harder again. There's more of a threat there. Iglesias has been fine over the past month. but like, you know, 1.37 whip, 25% K rate in the past like 12 innings. That's, you know, that whip's not great. The K rate's low for a closer. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, he's still in the top 12 for me. I think his 12 is where I have him. So it's not like he's, you know, just someone I don't trust or don't want at all. But other guys there, like, I mean, the way Jacob Latz has been throwing lately, Seawald's been pitching better than him, in my opinion. I could probably make a case for McGill to be above him. I think they're right. I think I have them next to each other right now, just because I want to see a little bit more from McGill. But upside wise, if you're you know, wanting to chase the higher upside, McGill is the play over Iglesias. And we kind of knew, I mean, or at least I had thought, like, Iglesias could get off to a hot start, but there's, you know, the way with his stuff and his repertoire, like, he's got to make a change at some point, or else, you know, hitters are going to catch on. So haven't seen it yet. I wonder if the slider has to come back for him. He's throwing it a little bit more, but I know, like, last year it got hammered and that was an issue, but, you know, I don't think hitters are looking for it as often as they were last season. So maybe he could start bringing that back into the mix, get some more swing and miss. And yeah, I think he'll be fine, but there's, you know, Suarez is right there behind him, and he's got like the best ERA in baseball right now amongst relievers. So it's hard to, you know, it's hard to push away. If Iglesias has like a bad weekend, like coming up, that there's going to be discussion about what they need to do there.
All right. After Iglesias, we've got Andrés Muñoz, who's fallen down the ranks. It's been a really tough season for Andrés Muñoz, 5.92 ERA. The thing is, you'd expect somebody like Muñoz to falter because of his control. You'd think the walk rate would skyrocket and the strikeouts would come down, and he's just putting too many guys on base to get away with his incredible stuff. But that hasn't really been the case. 10% walk rate isn't inflated for him. It's actually lower than it's been for 4 years. And yeah, the real thing is that the control is fine. The command is not. The fastball has not been finding the zone like it's supposed to. Its strike rate is down to 59% after being at 65% last year, which puts a lot of pressure on his slider, which already has a lot of pressure on it as he throws it over 50% of the time. So with more pressure on the slider, I think batters are not only able to sort of focus in on the pitch, but then they're able to hit it harder. And we've seen a huge increase in ICR, ideal contact rate against the slider, up 11% from last year to 42.9%, which is middle of the pack for sliders. So his slider isn't missing bats. The four seamer isn't earning strikes. He's putting a lot of pressure on other pitches to step up. And the thing with Andrés Muñoz is that he doesn't have other pitches. Well, that he wants to throw. You don't want to throw the changeup because he can't throw that for a strike.
I know. It's so nasty. He has to be like up in the count to throw it. And that's the thing, is getting up in the count for him. But you pretty much nailed it with everything, with like all my thoughts and concerns with Muñoz. Cool. And I think the fastball, I think it's like, that might be just a mental thing with the fastball for him, because I don't know if he has like confidence in throwing it right now or throwing it for strikes, because there are games where he just throws like 18 sliders and one fastball, and it's like, and he gets away, and like those won't even be the games where he has these issues, but it's just not sustainable over the course of the year to throw 90% sliders, especially when you throw 99 miles per hour. I think it's a, you know, confidence and command thing with him with that fastball. And I think once he gets, you know, he ideally he'll be a 50-50 guy with those two pitches. And that's where he's been in the past at his best as well. But he's become more slider oriented over the past half a year at least. So I just want to see like some confidence in that fastball, being able to throw it for strikes. Because hitters are just like, all right, like all they have to do is look for that slider. If he leaves it up, you know, swing at it. If he doesn't, it's going to be a ball. Like there's just, it's too easy to kind of predict with him what's coming next.
Right. I think the characteristics of the fastball have declined as well. It was a pitch that he had 6.7 feet of extension. He's lost 0.2 or 0.1 in each of the last two seasons. Same with the height adjusted vertical approach angle. That's fallen from 1.6 to 1.4 this year. Those are minor, but I think the biggest thing is he used to have a two plane fastball. It used to be a sinker like four seamer where you're getting a lot of arm side run. And we've seen the induced horizontal break fall from 12 inches to 8 inches this year, which is significant as he's held that 12 inches for 3 years prior to that. So I think the straightness of the fastball not only makes it so that that pitch is more hittable, but the difference in movement between the four seamer and slider becomes less. And so it doesn't tunnel as well. I think it's a lot easier to hit the slider when you're not expecting the four seamer to run all the way in on your hands as a righty.
Yeah. And I know we used to dive into the sinker a little bit more or
get that horizontal movement back. I mean, that pitch has been better for sure.
So, I mean, it's, I don't know, something has to happen with one of his fastballs. Cause yeah, just, we can't live off throwing the slider all the time. And it would be fun to see that change when he throws his changeup. I mean, the changeup can be really good. It's just like, yeah, he has no idea. He's not trying to throw it in the zone, but I don't know. There's a path there for him to figure it out. At least he's still throwing. At least the velocity is still there. And yeah, the slider still can be good. It's just, yeah, we need to get the fastball back on track. And I think he'd be okay. But yeah, it's definitely a concern for now. And there's a lot of other guys I would, until we wait for him to get back on track, there's other guys I'd rather, you know, roster at this point.
Yeah, and I trust the Mariners to get him there, hopefully. But yeah, it's been tough rostering Andrés Muñoz this year. Our last faller is Rico Garcia. This one's pretty self-explanatory. Not only has he regressed a lot recently, but Ryan Helsley returned from the injured list, which will force Garcia off of your closer ranks. Is there anything outside of that that has you pushing Garcia down?
I think more so, like, yeah, we don't need to roster him and save only leagues now. But I also think this is more for, like, you know, those in holds leagues I think if you can sell high on him, I would consider doing that now before, you know, the last outing was, the last outing was weird for many reasons. I mean, I was still thinking you still thought he was the interim closer, but he came in the seventh inning with the team down a run and he faced the bottom of the Rays lineup and it did not go well. The stuff is taking a hit. It's way down from where it used to be. I don't know if it's an injury. I was all kind of surprised that I thought he was going to be like the transaction when they brought Helsley back. I thought he might go on the IL. But I guess, yeah, he's going to pitch through this. I don't even know the way Yennier Cano has been throwing lately, he's probably at least a seventh or eighth inning guy for them. Kittredge has been throwing better. So I don't even know if Garcia is a huge holds asset at this point. So I think, you know, we knew the numbers were going to come back down to earth anyway because of the hot start. But if you can trade him or sell, this is probably your last chance to sell him for something decent in a holds league. I think you got to consider it because, the numbers right now look good. The ratios look good. The strikeouts look good. But I'm not sure it's going to last.
All right, that's Rico Garcia, and that will wrap up our three up, three down section. To recap, our risers were Jacob Latz, Paul Sewald, and Trevor McGill, and our fallers were Raisel Iglesias, Andrés Muñoz, and Rico Garcia. Next, we'll look at some undecided bullpens and some bullpen that could see changes upcoming. But first, we're going to take another break here on In the Pen. And we're back. Jake Crumpler here with Rick Graham discussing relief pitchers. Let's talk about some bullpens that are still undecided. They have some closer committee or they're on the verge of seeing changes or they've been undergoing changes. They've got struggling closers or new closers, et cetera. And it's you can do the Jerry Seinfeld and you can say, what's the deal with these bullpens? Let's start off with the A's that have had a closer committee all year, but with Elvis Alvarado coming back from the minor leagues recently and looking a lot stronger than he did prior to his optioning to the minors, definitely throws a big wrench in here. There's also Hogan Harris there who continues to outpitch the underlying metrics. And I was looking at our reliever league the other day, our reliever only league. Yeah. And I was looking at the rankings of like the top, you know, scorers in that league. Hogan Harris is a top five reliever in that league because he's got six saves, 10 holds, a sub three ERA, and a 26% strikeout rate. I mean, he's getting a ton of high leverage opportunities, but it's like, it's got to fall apart at some point. You can't just walk 15% of batters with a reduced velocity.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, it's just like a combination of three. Yeah. The three wins, no losses, six saves, 10 holds, just a little combination of everything with a good ERA. But yeah, I don't think he's going to fully regress, but I don't think he's the closer. I don't think he's deserved to be the closer. And it's hard to say Alvis Alvarado has after just five innings, but I mean, he looks so good right now. I don't think his last two outings were saves. I think he has to be considered the favorite for saves there until the wheels fall off. If they fall off, maybe this is it. Maybe this is finally the Alvis Alvarado breakout we've all been waiting for. Because yeah, I mean, these five innings since he's returned, I mean, everything that we've been worried about with him, or I've been worried about with him, the command looks better. The fastball velocity's up, and he's throwing 100 now. The slider's back. The slider disappeared on him his first stint earlier in the year. He's got everything working for him right now. So I think you got to, or the A's should at least let him, you know, run with that closer role. I know Hogan Harris has five saves over the past month and a half, but like, I think he's, you know, yeah, the walk rate concerns me from a close. And that's the same thing. Like, if Alvarado starts walking guys again, then like, you can't trust him in the ninth. But Harris has been walking guys all year. So I like him as a reliever. I like Justin Sterner as well, but Sterner doesn't have quite the same, you know, upside Alvarado does. Like, Alvarado has, like, really, you see it's closer stuff from him, the fastball and slider. Sterner's a good reliever, but I don't know if he's a closer. And the rest of that bullpen, like, I don't believe in what Mason Barnett's doing right now. I know those numbers look stupid good from the past.
Fastball is so bad.
Everything is kind of bad with him. Like, nothing's really good. The slider might be pretty good.
Yeah, it's a new pitch.
Yeah, the fastball, though, is not going to do it for me.
No, not even at a tick extra velocity. I mean, that IVB is terrible. 12 inches is awful, and he's not getting any extension, and he throws from a steep
very approach vanilla angle, so. Yeah.
Not good. So,
it's between Alvarado and Harris for me, but I think Alvarado, that upside makes me want to give him a shot, and let's see what happens. If it falls apart, you drop him in the next week. But if he's still pitching the way he's been pitching lately, then, and that was in Las Vegas where he was just dominating the other teams. So, I mean, Sacramento's not that much better, but it's still, you know, this is the Alvarado we've been hoping for. I think, let's let it ride and see how long it lasts. But as far as upside goes at this point in the year, you're not going to find much upside like Alvarado on the waiver wire moving forward. So,
right. Especially because the A's are actually in the playoff hunt. So they have a reason to trust the best guy and not necessarily the guy that they're going to be able to trade at the deadline or try to build up to be their closer of the future or whatever. So, yeah, I think with the failed Jack Perkins experiment, Alvarado is definitely exciting.
Yeah.
Next, we've got the Chicago White Sox, who have been very difficult to predict recently. It looked like Sir Anthony Dominguez was just the clear-cut closer the whole year, and he didn't really do much to suggest that he deserved to lose the role. Maybe if the White Sox are really forward-thinking and they're looking at his underlying metrics and seeing, oh, he's walking too many guys, this is going to start falling apart at some point. But that hadn't manifested yet. Yeah. So Dominguez just kept getting the saves until recently, where Grant Taylor started getting more opportunities, which I love, but I think they still want to use him in this weird high leverage multi-inning role. And then we saw Sean Newcomb get a save this past Wednesday. Dominguez did get back on the board with a save on Sunday. So what is going on in this White Sox bullpen? What's the deal with the White Sox bullpen?
Yeah, I mean, right when you think that like Taylor is going to take over, then Dominguez or Newcomb comes in with a save, right? Or Ryan Hudson. Super frustrating if you've been waiting and holding on to Grant Taylor, and I understand your frustrations. But I don't, at the end of the day, again, this is another team like the A's, the White Sox are playing well, they're well in playoff contention. I would think at some point Grant Taylor is going to be the closer, and like, they just run with it. I think it's tough because Sir Anthony Dominguez hasn't done anything to really lose the job. He's been like steady enough, not terrible. You know what I mean? Like that there's still pretty decent numbers over the past month from him. And you know, at least guys like Taylor and Newcomb, they give you that option of going multiple innings. So they might, you know, prefer to not have them set into the ninth inning. But I don't know. Taylor's just been so dominant lately. I can't see them not turning the keys over to him as the closer at some point. But yeah, I mean, Sean Newcomb too, like everyone that's been Taylor Dominguez, but Sean Newcomb's been unbelievable as well. I wonder if they would consider moving him into the rotation at some point. I know that was a consideration beginning of the year and it didn't end up happening, but yeah, he's been so good. So yeah, there's options there. I still think Taylor's the guy I would want to roster because either with Sir Anthony Dominguez might get more saves in the next like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but I just feel like Taylor's the long-term answer here and probably not going to, he shouldn't kill your ratios. His stuff's too good to like to have major meltdowns.
Right. I mean, I've been rostering Taylor the whole year in the pitcherless staff league, which is a standard Yahoo league. And I've been fine with the wins and the saves and the ratios and the strikeouts. And I think Dominguez is still worth rostering right now until we get, you know, a clearer picture of this bullpen, but he's certainly on the way out. If you're looking to trade from some reliever depth, Dominguez would certainly be a guy that I'd be looking to deal at the moment, because if the White Sox continue to stick in the playoff hunt, they're going to realize, yo, we gotta get Grant Taylor in the
it's Taylor situation. And yeah, it should be Taylor and Newcomb, and like Dominguez is again still a good reliever. I hope like I just don't want him in the ninth inning of a key ball game. You know, it's like seventh inning. Sure, we'll seventh inning seems good for him.
Yeah. All right, sticking in the AL Central, we'll go to the Royals, who saw some change in the closer role the past couple of weeks with Lucas Erceg struggling. Alex Lang took over the closer role, and that worked well for about a week. And then this past two appearances for Lang have resulted in blown saves and losses for him. Not the best. And then the thing is, like, Daniel Lynch has not been given any opportunities. Matt Strom has struggled recently too. So there's nobody really stepping up and claiming this closer role. We've seen this happen in some other bullpens, but I think Lang is still the guy to go with right now. But if he blows another save, if he has another tough outing, it starts to get real sticky, and I'll continue to lean on Daniel Lynch, but it becomes a bullpen that I want to avoid if Lang can't figure it out.
Yeah. This bullpen is as bad as I think we had imagined it might be. I think Lang's going to get the next save chance. And if as long as he doesn't fail, he's going to continue to get save chances. I think the two names now to keep an eye on is still Daniel Lynch, because he's still there. He's not going anywhere. But, you know, John Schreiber's been pitching well, and I never thought I would be in on John Schreiber. Mm-hmm. But he's throwing like 95 plus these days, in the last couple outings, which is, we haven't seen that from him since 2022, which is his best season. So, okay. You know, 2022 John Schreiber was really, really good. That was someone, you know, we were all excited about. So if we're back to that, then like, okay, now that's another name to keep an eye on here, because I can't see Erceg coming back into the mix here. Matt Strom's been terrible. He's allowed like 9 home runs in his past 3 games. That's not the right number, but he's just allowing home runs at a ridiculous rate. Steven Cruz is the other guy, but like the walk rate's not just great.
Alex Lang 2.0.
It's like the opposite of Lang, whereas Cruz has a really good fastball and nothing else. And
I just meant the results.
Walks and the the striker rate's good, but the walk's terrible. And if Cruz ever figures out some better command and a good secondary, then I'm in on that. But yeah, for now it's like Schreiber might be the handcuffed if they really don't want to go to Lynch in the ninth for whatever reasons they have.
It makes sense for the Royals too. They're always like the, you know, we don't need the big strikeout guy. We saw them roll with Carlos Estevez for multiple years. Lucas Erceg hasn't been a big strikeout guy. So if they just want that veteran guy who's, you know, reliable in the ninth inning, he's not going to blow away. Yeah.
That's the thing. Erceg has command issues. Lang has command issues. Maybe we go with one of the guys who doesn't, like Lynch or Schreiber, who's going to
at least the like you have a pretty good defense there, especially solid infield defense. Schreiber gets a lot of ground balls. I just feel like that could make sense. As long as he's throwing 95, I would be interested in that.
All right. So hold on to Alex Lang for now, but definitely keep your eye on John Schreiber. Next, we go to the Angels bullpen, which has been a little bit of a disaster all year. We went through the Jordan Romano experience early on. That was a whole lot of fun. And then the Ryan Zephyrjohn experience. Now we're going through the Kirby Yates ride. And Sam Bachman seemed like he was trending towards the right direction, but he just had a huge blow up on Sunday. I think he allowed 5 runs in that outing. Regardless, he's the best reliever in this bullpen by far. Chase Silseth is outpitching his underlying metrics by a crazy amount, but he's been better recently as well. 0.63 ERA since May 1st. But Kirby Yates seems to be the guy with the role right now, but do you see some sort of change happening in the near future?
Yeah, I'm not even sure Yates is the guy right now. The way that they've been, I don't know. It's very similar to Jordan Romano, the way he was the numbers look decent. Like the whip's fine. The strikeout rate is really high. Yeah. You know who the batters he's been facing? It's like the bottom third of lineups in nine-nothing games in the ninth inning. It's like he's getting very favorable matchups that are making his strikeout numbers look better. So I'm not buying Kirby Yates. And yeah, Bachman just got destroyed the other night. And I do think we're back to Ryan Zephyrjohn. I think we've come full circle where Zephyrjohn's past 5 outings have been really good. I mean, we're seeing like the best version of him, which is still a high walk rate guy, but like the strikeouts are there as well. But yeah, that walk rate is such a nightmare to deal with Zephyrjohn as a potential closer. Which is frustrating because, yeah, the stuff wise, I mean, strikeout ability wise, Zephyrjohn is really, really a fun, you know, name to target and to look at, you know, to roster if you can. But it's that walk rate's going to be a killer, and that's going to kill your whip. And I don't know. I think Bachman had his. I hope this 5-run outing from Bachman doesn't completely close the window on him.
Yeah,
because I still think he's the best option. I think I'm hoping that was just one. It looks like that was just one fluky game, or not fluky game. It's just a bad game. But like, you know, he's been. I think he's still been deserving of getting a chance to close out games. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's you know, Chase Silseth's been pitching better. I'm not sure how much I believe in that as well.
I mean, the walks are way down, but yeah, he's a splitter guy, so it's just you know, sometimes he's getting lucky.
Right. So and he hasn't been pitching in like the highest of leverage outings. So. Okay. I don't know. Right now, after the past week, I'm going to say Zephyrjohn, but this is probably going to be a revolving. This is probably just going to continue to change as we move throughout the year. I really don't know if we're ever going to get like a steady answer to this Angels closer role.
Yeah, not necessarily your traditional closer committee where anybody can close on a given night, and but riding the hot streaks. Yeah, they're definitely streaky. Bullpen guys. I mean, you mentioned like we're coming full circle with Zephyrjohn. He has streaks of being like one of the best relievers in baseball and then sometimes being the worst. So it's like you might have 2 weeks of one closer, 2 weeks of another, 2 weeks of another, and then coming back around to the first guy as he gets back on track, which makes sense. You got a lot of splitter guys here. You got a lot of guys that don't have great command and it just wavers and goes in and out. They're volatile guys. So it would make sense. But yeah, I mean, it's not terrible if you're switching through Yates, Bachman, Silseth, and Zephyrjohn every couple of weeks. It could work, but not many save opportunities coming from the Angels. That's They've been terrible.
Yeah, I know. And since May 1st, Zephyrjohn has 2, Yates has 1, and that's it. That's it from this bullpen. All right.
Yikes.
There we go.
All right. Next, we've got the Twins bullpen, which was a closer committee, but seems to have figured itself out as I tend to go back and think about, oh, who was I predicting to have the most saves in this bullpen in the preseason? And we couldn't even have guessed Yoendris Gomez because he wasn't on the team, but he's up to 7 saves now. He's gotten saves on back-to-back days on Monday and Sunday. He's pitched very well for the Twins, 1.65 ERA since May 1st, near 30% strikeout rate. He's doesn't have the best stuff, but he has interesting enough stuff. He's pitching well enough, and the Twins seem to trust him as the closer.
Yeah, I'm tentatively or cautiously in on him. More so, I mean, I think the Twins are starting to come around to realizing he needs to be or he should be their ninth inning guy. Back-to-back saves recently, I think that shows it, hopefully. Who knows though? But yeah, I think he's clearly the best. I think they've narrowed it down, or at least they should have narrowed it down to Gomez and Andrew Morris as their, like, that's where their, that's where the best, that's where their talent, the stuff comes from in that bullpen. Mm-hmm. And even, I mean, Anthony Band has been pitching better lately, I guess, if you want to throw him in there as the lefty. But yeah, I think, you know, you Gomez again, and he's kind of reminds me of Killian, where it's like, it, the stuff can be really good one day, and then like the next day it's inconsistent command, inconsistent stuff from him. But more often than not, it's good. Like, we're getting good results from him at least. The underlying numbers don't suggest like he's in for this massive negative regression or anything. Mm-hmm. So I guess, yeah, as long as the command's good for him, I think not sure if he was throwing the cutter's been a big difference maker for him. It's not the best pitch, but it's the pitch he's been able to throw for strikes. So I think, you know, he's maybe found something there, and
he's throwing a lot harder too.
Yeah. He's for the most part throwing harder. Again, the velocity with him does like fluctuate a little bit, but, yeah, I mean, I'm in on him as the closer. I don't know if he's like I don't know if he's got like top 10 or 12 potential. Maybe he can get in the top 20 at some point, but yeah, we'll see. Hopefully the first step is the Twins just committing to him as the closer and not pitching him in the seventh or eighth inning like they have been doing the past couple weeks.
All right, Yoendris Gomez, the closer in Minnesota. Now we'll head over to the National League, starting with the Reds, and this might be the most disastrous bullpen in all of baseball. At this point, I don't even know what they're supposed to do. They just keep turning to Tony Santion, and I think they're just like, well, we don't have anybody else, and he got a save on Saturday.
You gotta save tonight.
All right. They just keep turning to him, but he's been terrible this year. 5.67 ERA. He's not getting whiffs. He's walking guys. It's really not looking good for Santion. And never have I thought that I would be begging for Emilio Pagan to come back.
Yes, it's been bad for Santion this year. Recently it's been better though. And I think I'm starting to be like, okay, he's throwing harder. I mean, that's the key thing. He's back up to throwing 96. It's not even like his, you know, he used to throw like 97. But the last couple outings, he's been like 95, 96. So that's a big change from him throwing 94 like he was the first 2 months of the year. You know, I still don't know if that means that he's going to be like perfect, or he's going to be like, all right, this is a guy we can trust. The command's still an issue. The breaker from him was getting hammered. I think the fastball velocity can help alleviate some of that, but yeah, well, again, there's no one else here. The rest of the options, I wish there was like an alternative I could feel confident in. I mean, even Caleb Ferguson's like those numbers aren't real. Like TJ Anton is not a closer without a fastball. I mean, Zach Maxwell's been disappointing because he can't throw strikes, but we knew that, so it shouldn't be that surprising. You know, Chase Petty is an interesting name there. Again, Pagan's going to take the rollback, but Petty, obviously a starter turn reliever for the time being. But I think with his fastball and fastball curveball, I think there could be a late inning reliever there, like a pretty good late inning reliever there, if he ever did just become a, you know, late inning guy for them. But
yeah, terrible command, but his stuff is really good.
Yeah. So, I mean, for now, Santillan's, he's going to have the role until Pagan returns, which could be before the All-Star break, potentially, if everything goes well with Pagan. And yeah, at least he's pitching better lately. The stuff looks better from him. Looks more like the Tony Santion of, you know, the past 2 years. So there's that to look forward to. You could roster him if you're in deeper leagues and desperate. I don't think we're going to see these major blowups like we have from him moving forward, but it's, you know, I'd prefer Alvarado or Grant Taylor over Santion at this point.
All right. Next we'll go to the Rockies bullpen, which has never really established itself this year. We haven't seen anybody take over. Victor Vodnik did just return from the IL, which could throw a big wrench into it. But I think we had assumed Antonio Senzatella would be the closer just because he's the only good pitcher in this bullpen. But not only is he regressing, but the club has not been willing to use him as a traditional closer. I think he pitched the sixth inning yesterday. They turned to Juan Mejia for a four out save, and that did not go well. He struggled in the ninth inning, and then Seth Halverson came in and allowed the loss. So not real great there from the Rockies bullpen, and really nobody has stepped up. So I feel like with Vodnik returning, even though he hasn't been great this year, that's a guy that they've trusted. You see a different path for the Rockies?
No, I don't see any path, to be honest. This bullpen is just terrible. I just wanted to bring them in because it's still on. We don't have a closer here. So,
right.
It's just, yeah. I mean, look at these numbers since May 1st. It's just Senzatela is the not as bad of the group as the rest, or what. I don't even know what I'm saying. He's just, everyone else is terrible and he's slightly terrible. So I think, you know, I keep expecting him to get a save here and there, but yeah, he's only got one save since May 1st. So I don't know. Halverson kind of looked interesting for a second, but that, I mean, you just can't trust anything in this bullpen. It's just, you know, the way it is with the Rockies and Coors and all that. So Vodnik command was terrible his first game back. Stuff, I mean, the stuff's always been there for him. It's just command's been an issue, and yeah, I don't expect anyone here to be fantasy relevant for the rest of the year, to be honest.
All right, sticking in the NL West, we've got the Giants, who have been trusting Caleb Killian for a while. It seemed like there was a moment where he lost the closer role, and I thought somebody else like Keaton Wynn would step up. Yeah, I guess technically he did. And then Keaton Wynn did exactly what Killian did. He got blown up, and now he's on the IL, so he's not taking that role away from him anymore. And then there's really nobody else. We got Ryan Walker back from the minors, and I don't think he's going to pitch well enough to take over that closer role. Eric Miller has regressed a lot since coming back from his own IL stint. Dylan Smith is the one guy, but that's also the one guy I don't think the Giants would ever put in the closer role because of his lack of experience in the majors. So it seems like Killian's got a pretty decent hold on this closer role, but I think he's going to be very volatile through the year, as he has been all thus far.
Yeah, and again, I think it was just so weird them announcing him the closer when he had just been pitching like the sixth and seventh inning, like the couple games before that. And it's like, oh, now he's the closer, I guess, because Wynn got hurt and there was no other option, and they didn't want to have any confusion with Ryan Walker coming back. But yeah, I guess we'll see Killian get some ninth inning chances. He could be okay in the role. Probably prefer him over Santillan just because there's a chance that Killian can, you know, hang on to that role for the rest of the year. But yeah, again, I mean, Dylan Smith's only been five innings, but like, I just want to see a little bit more there. Cause the stuff plays as like a high leverage as a potential closer. Mm-hmm. The command's going to be an issue with him potentially, but yeah, this whole bullpen has command issues or some sort of issue. So yeah. And it sounds like Keaton Wynn's not going to be out too long. They're hoping he can be back probably maybe by the All-Star break. So yeah, we'll see what happens when he returns. We could, you know, see someone else in the closer role by then. But yeah, I think Killian, they said he's the closer. So like, you know, none of these guys so far have been named the closer. Right. I don't think. I mean,
take the manager's word and also his the performance of his bullpen mates.
Yeah, and there's no competition. So yeah, Killian makes sense over you know, I still would rather Alvarado. I think I would rather Gomez as well, and Grant Taylor. But other than that, yeah, I think Killian is probably like fourth in this group for me. Is where I would put him in that order.
Mm-hmm. All right, next we've got the Cardinals bullpen, which is probably a surprise for people to hear this bullpen being brought up in this conversation. Riley O'Brien has 17 saves this year. He's been very solid, but he's regressed dramatically since the beginning of May. 6.60 ERA, 1.67 WHIP. The walks have risen. The strikeouts have fallen. It's been a lot of struggles from Riley O'Brien. So with O'Brien struggling and maybe the potential of him losing this closer role if they continue as dramatically as they have, who do you see as the next sort of guys up? There's definitely a little bit of potential in this bullpen, but it's not the names that we're used to.
Yeah. And so O'Brien got he got his 18th save tonight. He didn't allow a hit, but he allowed a walk and no strikeouts. So that the command, the walks, still don't love seeing that. Stanek pitched the eighth and got two strikeouts and no base runners, which is probably his best outing of his season so far. But I mean, he has been pitching better lately, and I thought there was maybe a corner turned for Stanek, and then he allowed three home runs over the weekend, three home runs in one outing, and it's like, oh, you know, and like it's just he's either missing outside of the zone or he's just throwing pitches right down the middle, and it's just so frustrating because the stuff's legit from Stanek. It's really good. It's always been really good. That's why he keeps getting chances. But the command, and not just the control, it's the command with him that's just like so frustrating. But I mean, you look at, you know, Jojo Romero picked a bad time to start, you know, struggling recently. He's been having his own issues. So I think if he was pitching well, he would have taken over this closer role by now. Soriano is, I guess, the safest option. He doesn't walk as many guys. He hasn't been walking anyone recently. But he does not have, you know, doesn't have the fastball you're looking for in a closer. Off-speed stuff's pretty good, but yeah, just the fastball worries me with Soriano. It's been better at times, but yeah, I mean, Stanek, sure. I mean, I want to believe in Stanek. I need to see more. I've been burned by him too much.
This season.
Hypothetically, he should be a closer, but it's just the command is always going to be there. Always going to be an issue.
Yeah.
Matt Swanson came back and he's looks okay. I don't know. I mean, we saw how bad he was earlier in the year. He's looked better since he's returned, but I think he's like at best the fifth option here. So I think, you know, O'Brien has really struggled lately, and I want to believe in him getting things turned around. I do believe in the stuff there. The control from him is just, I mean, you mentioned the stats since May 1st. Look at that zone rate of 33.7%. And that's, we talked about him, you know, at some point, like, we're like, you know, he hasn't walked anyone, but the zone rate is like really low. This doesn't make any sense. Yeah, and now it's
starting, chasing.
And now we're starting to see, there's an issue there with him finding the zone. His stuff's crazy. I mean, his sinker that 99 miles per hour moves a lot, and he's got a sweeper that moves a ton. So I get the issues throwing strikes, but yeah, he needs to figure out something here to hang on to this role. I just don't know who the best. I mean, maybe I should take Stanek more seriously, but especially if he's pitching the eighth inning here. He's pitching the eighth inning here. Palante went seven, then they went to Stanek and O'Brien. They just didn't even use. They didn't use Romero. They didn't use Soriano.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. It's hard to trust him. We leaned into him in that first week, and it did not go well. And he's just so volatile. I you know, Soriano just gets hit way too hard. That fastball is awful. So I feel like O'Brien is good enough that he's going to turn it around. I mean, we saw last year, he doesn't have to be the guy that was the ceiling that we saw at the beginning of this year. He can be the guy that was second half Riley O'Brien last year, where he gets weak contact. He is relying on balls in play. He's not striking out a lot of guys, but he's not walking the whole yard and getting destroyed all the time. So I think he can get it back on track. I think there's too little competition for him to lose that close role really quickly.
Yeah. And the alternative is, and again, the Cardinals are playing well, maybe they go out and get somebody. So that, I mean, reunion with Ryan Helsley, maybe if the Orioles fall apart, but I don't know. I like, again, and then this is the issue of O'Brien. I like him as a reliever, similar to Ryan Walker. He just feels a little out of place as a closer.
Right. Sure.
The stuff we saw from him in April was not really, that wasn't the real Riley O'Brien. That's like that Ryan Walker, like, half season we saw where like he was getting all this swing and miss, but that's not who Ryan Walker is. So I think O'Brien's a little miscast as a closer, but still a good reliever and the best option they have for now. And similar to like Munoz in Seattle, I think the Cardinals need and want O'Brien to figure things out and continue like getting saves for them and locking down that role.
All right. The last bullpen we'll talk about is the Nationals. They haven't really figured anything out all year, but the thing is, like, the difference here between them and the Reds, where I think both of these bullpens we had different expectations for, but they've both sort of been in this limbo state of like, who's the closer? Who's going to step up? Is anybody the closer? Is it even worth paying attention to? Is that they've got some guys who actually I think have more potential. Clayton Beter hasn't really done it this year. The walks are still a problem. He hasn't been the huge strikeout guy he was in the past. They're not willing to use him, only in the ninth inning. And that has left the door open for Gus Varland to get saves. He got a save tonight. And even though he's been pitching terribly since he's gotten more opportunities. So that's weird. Orlando Ribalta has had success this year. The underlying metrics don't support it. And then there's a guy like Brad Lord who might be the best of the bunch, but they like him throwing multiple innings. And he's pitched exceptionally recently since May 1st, 0.77 ERA for Brad Lord. But like I said, they don't trust him in that multi-inning role. Mitchell Parker had better stuff this year, but he got absolutely blown up the other day and he's going downhill. So I don't think there's really anybody that's a clear front runner. And I don't know, what do you think? Is this bullpen even worth speculating on, or, you know, sit back and let it sort itself out?
It's as bad as we thought. This is as bad as we thought it was going to be. I mean, we talked about it, and our, like, at least I mentioned it being like a generationally bad bullpen going into the season, and it's been bad. It's going to continue to be bad. There's not going to be a guy that is similar to the Rockies, but it shouldn't be, because the Nationals have a pretty good offense. They've been playing well. I mean, it's frustrating to see kind of some games lost because of this bullpen. But yeah, I mean, like you said, Brad Lord makes the most sense, but he's the way they're using him. And like, if they just push him into being a one inning guy, does that change how successful he is or how good he's been pitching? Maybe he's best off as like that gap, you know, the gap from the fifth to the seventh or sixth or whatever innings. You know, Ribalta's stuff is good, but the swing and miss isn't there. The underlying metrics aren't great. I mean, Varland can be good, but he's been terrible the past month and a half. The results haven't been there. And it's not even like the 6.05 Sierra since May 1st is not helping Gus Varland's case. Beter can't find the zone. Yeah, I mean, Richard Lovelady has the most saves since May 1st, but he also has a negative K-minus walk.
Or and a K-2.5 whip.
It's 2.5 whip, but I don't know. This bullpen's so bad. And it's frustrating because, I hope they go and get somebody, make it interesting there. I know they're probably not going to challenge the Braves for the division, but they could challenge for a wild card
for sure.
They challenge for a wild card spot, and like, you know, just they realistically need like 2 to 3 pieces to that bullpen, but at least add somebody, someone competent to just close out games for them would be a nice start.
Definitely. Yeah. I think the comparison to the Reds bullpen was pretty good, because the Nationals and Reds are 29th and 30th respectively in reliever XFIP. So definitely two of the worst bullpens, but it's crazy the expectations we had for these two bullpens and how it sort of worked out, where the Nationals have lived up to the low expectations and the Reds have disappointed our high expectations of them this year. But that will wrap up the what's the deal with these bullpens, and we'll end this episode of the In the Pen podcast. Rick, why don't you go ahead and plug your socials and anything else you're working on?
Yeah, you can find me on socials at I Am Rick Graham. Working on, as usual, the RP streamers and RP roundups each morning on pitcherlist.com. And then, as well as every Tuesday night, having the reliever rankings, saves, holds, save plus holds. Should be out at some point Tuesday nights. But yeah, that's about all I've got going on right now.
All right. Sounds like you've got a lot going on. So don't downplay it too much. You can follow the pod at In the Pen Pod. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler. You can find a lot of my pitching analysis over on Twitter, where I do daily SP streamers and I break down every single start via the pitcher list stats player cards. I also do 4 days a week of the daily first pitch podcast. I do the weekend editions of the pitcher list SP roundup, and I do some playing time analysis over at Baseball HQ, but you can find all of my work over at crumplerbaseball.com. That will do it for this episode 165 of the In the Pen podcast. We'll talk to you all next week.